After hundreds of interviews and thousands of hours of research, we're excited to share with you our first book, The Greater Good, Life Lessons from Hawaii's Leaders, with a special foreword from Mayor Mufi Hanneman.
The Greater Good is a collection of personal stories and quotes from over 70 of the leaders we've interviewed.
The Greater Good will make you laugh, make you cry, and will inspire you to live a greater good life.
Available at bookstores statewide and at greatergoodbooks.com.
Welcome to Greater Good Radio Hawaii, where leaders inspire leaders. Greater Good Radio Hawaii is dedicated to social entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Evan Leong, and with me is my co-host, Carrie Leong.
Mahalo, Evan. Today's guest is Mike May, President and CEO of Hawaiian Electric Company, Inc. He served on the board since 1995. He is also chairman to the advisory boards of directors of Maui Electric Company, Limited, and Hawaii Electric Light Company, Inc. Please welcome to Greater Good Radio, Mike May. Welcome to our show, Mike.
Aloha, Carrie and Evan. Thanks for allowing me to be on the show.
Thank you. So could you tell us, Mike, about your position as CEO and a little bit also about Hawaiian Electric Company?
I'd like to, if I may, just start with Hawaiian Electric Company. I think it's a really interesting story. Hawaiian Electric Company is a 115-year-old company. We are the only utility company in America that was chartered by a monarchy. The interesting developments of the company started, as I said, 115 years ago. King Kalakaua had heard about electricity, and when he was making his world tour, he made arrangements to visit with Thomas Edison in New York. And he, as you probably know, had an interest in science and technology. And when he came back, he launched a process of electrifying or illuminating Iolani Palace. And one of the interesting factoids is that Iolani Palace is the first first monarchy in the world to have electricity, and the second seat of government only to Washington, D.C. So that was the beginning of electricity in Hawaii, and then the company started after that with a charter from the king, and we've been in business for 115 years. We serve 95% of the state's population, and we serve five islands, and and it's all been history from there.
How did you get involved with the company?
It's a long and winding road. The short answer is I had been a CEO of a subsidiary of Caterpillar and decided in my late 30s to go out and start a consulting practice. And one of my clients turned out to be Hawaiian Electric. And in the course of the consulting arrangement, I was asked if I would be interested in coming to work at Hawaiian Electric, and ultimately became the CEO 3 years later.
What position did they bring you on initially as?
I was senior vice president. I had system planning, regulatory affairs, and all the customer operations for the company.
And at that time when you joined them as senior vice president, did you know that you would be taking the president and the CEO position eventually?
It had been talked about, and it was conditioned upon, obviously, my performance. So, yes, it was on the table, but subject to, you know, how you do.
So, you know, we're wondering then, you go in there and 3 years later you're president and CEO. What were the most important things that needed to get done, or some advice that, you know, we could have in order to make that kind of leap as well?
I think if you look at the company and what was underway, the principal reason we were brought in was to do an organizational effectiveness study. And so a lot of our work was looking at comparables in the industry, looking at how the company was staffed, how it was operated. And so I had a perfect background, having done the consulting assignment, to have a very unique perspective on the company. We had done focus groups, we had done culture surveys, and sort of had a holistic look at how the company's financial state was, operating state, and you might say cultural or mental state. And so that became a perfect framework for doing a strategic plan for the company, and that was one of my initial responsibilities, was to develop the sort of the roadmap to the future. Let me just ramble through my background. I'm a grew up son of Virginia, grew up in Williamsburg, the colonial capital, and actually did my engineering work at Newport Shipbuilding, which is the largest private shipbuilder in the world. I worked in the propulsion side of that business, or power plants, if you will, for shipboard. From there, I was recruited after business school. I got my MBA at William & Mary. From there, I was recruited to the corporate staff of Rockwell International. And my first assignment at 26 was doing merger and acquisition work. I was sent to Europe for a couple of years, and I worked in six countries doing acquisitions for Rockwell. From there, my next big assignment was chief financial officer for Caterpillar's largest, one of its largest subsidiaries, which is the gas turbine business. It does business in 58 countries. And interesting, I used to have to do a round-the-world trip to visit all of our sites once a year as chief financial officer. So that was the background that sort of led and built my career toward coming to Hawaii. So I was in the power plant business early on in my career, and I ended up building gas turbine power plants, supplying them to the industry, and then ended up working in the power market, the electricity market, Hawaiian Electric.
Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for more on Greater Good Radio.
After hundreds of interviews and thousands of hours of research, we're excited to share with you our first book, The Greater Good, Life Lessons from Hawaii's Leaders, with a special foreword from Mayor Mufi Hanneman.
The Greater Good is a collection of personal stories and quotes from over 70 of the leaders we've interviewed.
The Greater Good will make you laugh, make you cry, and will inspire you to live a greater good life.
Available at bookstores statewide and at greatergoodbooks.com.
How'd he sell his company to Akamai Technologies for $3 billion?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who donates 6% of sales to make more money?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
How do you get 100 stores and $100 million in sales in less than 10 years?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who raised $50,000 in a few weeks for the tsunami relief?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
And all while benefiting the community.
GreaterGoodRadio.com.
You're listening to Greater Good Radio Hawaii. Please visit us online at GreaterGoodRadio.com. Today's guest is Mike May, President and CEO of Hawaiian Electric Company, Inc. He served on the board since 1995. He's also chairman to the advisory boards of directors of Maui Electric Company, Limited, and Hawaii Electric Light Company, Inc.
Can you tell us about how you actually came to Hawaii then?
As I had mentioned, in my late 30s, decided to go out and start my own consulting practice. It was one of those things where you had spent all your time in corporate America, and it's like, can you really go out and do something on your own? So I left Caterpillar and ended up forming a global consulting practice. Clients consisted of Hughes Corporation, largest employer in California. We ended up having a client, the Ministry of Industry in Poland, South African Mining Company, Global Technology, and one of my clients turned out to be Hawaiian Electric. And so that's how I ended up connected with Hawaii and Hawaiian Electric. And then I was asked to stay on as an employee of the company.
Did you think it was going to be just a short time in Hawaii and you're going to go back to the mainland when you first got here?
Hawaii was the place that people can only dream of. When I came here, I said, we obviously understand its natural beauty, but I just love the people. I love the culture. The thing that was so intriguing for me, there's such a talent base here, and there's such an understatedness to Hawaii that was just very appealing to me. There's a warm culture. I felt very accepted as part of the culture, and I said, this feels like home, and it is my home.
Being that you were already running your own successful business and being a consultant, why did you make that leap to say, you know what, I will be a part of Hawaiian Electric as, you know, not just, but senior vice president and hopefully, but not promised, like you said, to get to president one day?
That's an excellent question. One of the things that I learned, I had been in corporate America and had run things. And then I found myself in the consulting business advising on things. And what I found that I really missed, the thing that really excited me, was working, the interaction with people, the doing things, and doing it as part of an integrated company. And so while there was a lot of success in the consulting business, there was a part of me that was not being satisfied. And that's the sense of, you know, being a part of something and seeing a company achieve things together. And that was the reason I came back to corporate America, and particularly to Hawaiian Electric.
How did you know it was time to leave corporate America the first time and start your own business? A lot of people think about it and they maybe even dream about it, but how do you know it's the right time and then get the gumption to go and do it?
It's a good question. I look at a career as almost like an investment, and you have to decide when to invest and when to harvest. And I think we all come out of school, maybe I did, 20-something, and wanted to hit, you know, $1 million by the time I'm 30 and then coast. What I focused on was the key to a career, particularly if you're going to go the public company route, moving toward senior management in a public company, you need to build an inventory of skills. You have to understand strategy, critical thinking. You have to understand the technical side, the financial side, and how to create shareholder value. And ultimately, what I've worked to do, and I'm not saying it's the only formula for a career, but what I've worked to do is select jobs that built on the critical skills that I needed and not decided to go for necessarily the money. Because what happens when one looks to the money, sometimes you price yourself out of the opportunity. Maybe you need this critical skill, but because, you know, you're making X dollars, nobody can afford you. So you've got to be really careful as to how you stage your career so that you get to that point, and then you can decide to harvest and basically apply that collective set of skills to an experience. So in the late 30s, why did I do that? It felt like it was the time to do that. But what I found out is that I really enjoyed that corporate setting more than I did just advising people on how to run a business. And so that's why I came back to corporate America.
How would you know that where you are in your career, that you need to move forward to gain more skills? Like, how do you know not to just be comfortable at where you're at?
Well, you look at the leaders above you, and you look at the kind of things that they are involved in, the kind of skills and disciplines and decisions that they have to make, and you sort of do a mental inventory of what you have and would you be prepared to make those kind of decisions. There's not a quantitative analysis. It's more of a qualitative. You know what you know and you know what you don't know. And there would be times, for example, when I was in engineering, it was clear to me that everything sort of had to come down to the numbers, the financials. So that was the time to go back and get my MBA in finance so that I could basically understand the technical side of things, but also put it in a financial framework. So that's just one example. You sort of see how decisions are made and what are the criteria, and that contributed to another lesson that I needed.
Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for more on Greater Good Radio.
After hundreds of interviews and thousands of hours of research, we're excited to share with you our first book, The Greater Good, Life Lessons from Hawaii's Leaders, with a special foreword from Mayor Mufi Hanneman.
The Greater Good is a collection of personal stories and quotes from over 70 of the leaders we've interviewed.
The Greater Good will make you laugh, make you cry, and will inspire you to live a greater good life.
Available at bookstores statewide and at greatergoodbooks.com.
Is the greatest part of your workday the leftover lasagna you packed for lunch? Is it quickly becoming apparent that you and everyone you know are smarter than your boss? Just how satisfying is it to wear an untucked shirt on Fridays? It's time you stopped filling a position and started being fulfilled with a job that excites you every day, not just payday. And now is the perfect time to demand more of the work week. The Honolulu Star Bulletin and Midweek work with Monster so you can live up to your potential right here. Your calling is calling. Find it at starclassifieds.monster.com.
We're back with Mike May, President and CEO of Hawaiian Electric Company, Inc.
I want to go back a little bit where you mentioned that you thought Hawaii had a great talent base. Now, this is a kind of a debate that comes up, you know, over and over again where they say, well, people in Hawaii don't have a global view, or maybe they're not as educated as other people and so on. But you said you saw a great talent base here. Can you explain that?
I do more bragging. I'm on a number of industry boards, and I can speak from our company's perspective. I'm on the Edison Electric Institute, which has utilities from all over the world that are part of this association. I'm also on the board of directors of Electric Power Research Institute. So there are two really good benchmarks for me to look at. And as I get together and I talk to other CEOs running electric companies around the country and around the world, we talk about skills and talents that are available to us. And I have to tell you, I feel very fortunate that we've got the talent base that we have in our company. We've got a rich talent and experience base that I think is the envy of other electric utilities in the country. And that's the sort of calibration that I have is an industry one. And I find that, like, we go to social settings, fundraisers, and I'm just amazed when I sit and talk to people around me at things they've accomplished, and you wouldn't have known that. It's not that they're sitting there telling you about themselves. It's you almost have to pull it out, and it's like, wow, you know, one of your guests, Chris Lee, you know, is just an example, such an accomplished, and I can go through all of your program. The Dick Gushmans, the, you know, all of the folks that you've interviewed, and just say, wow, we've got just such a rich talent base in this community.
So do you think that there's a brain drain, or you think it's brain gain, or what do you think?
Well, I think it's incumbent upon all of us as a community to not let that happen. I think we've got to create a vibrant economy, a vibrant community, and a place so that we can. We have Carol and I have children. We would love to have come back to Hawaii and have a place in our community. And we're very committed to doing what little we can to make this a vibrant place for our young to come back to, our families to come back to.
You were talking a little bit about skills and how, you know, people grow. And those were some of the things that made you make choices in your life. I guess my question is in regard to somebody that's working in a company. Mm-hmm. They may go back to school to learn a new skill. But at the same time, do you think it's important for them to feel they have to move companies to grow as well, or have loyalty to the company that they currently work with?
It's probably a deep personal choice that an individual has to make. For someone who has worked for three or four companies, I'm not saying that that's the model. I found that in my particular situations that it was a way to expand. I was looking for something that was, for example, more international. And the setting that I was in would not have offered that. So it wasn't that the company environments necessarily required it. It was a skill set that I was looking for. I would like to think as a company, we work very hard to create a sense of enrichment and opportunity for our employees to grow within the company. Very pleased to say that our voluntary turnover is very, very low in the company. And I like to say that's because people have a sense. We give people early a lot of responsibility and accountability to do things in the company at very young ages. And we've been rewarded in what we've seen is results. I'd like to say we have a culture in the company that promotes and enhances that continuity. And we do have long service employees in our company. So I'd like to think it's because we're trying to create a place where people can feel a sense of family, a sense of home, and a sense of future.
Being that you mentioned the culture in the company, what is your focus of the company's values, and how do you nurture the culture in your company?
It's one of my favorite subjects. We have a phrase in the company that we call TRAIT, and it's our what we call our guiding principles, and it's an acronym that stands for Trust, Respect, Appreciation, Integrity, and Teamwork. And behind that, those are our guiding principles that drive every behavior and every decision that we make in the company. We promote a sense of honesty, intellectual honesty to one another and to our communities and among our employees. We've tried to create a sense of trust. And for the last 10 years, we have taken an employee survey every year that asks, do you feel like you can contribute to the company? Do you feel like you are part of a team? Do you feel like the direction is right? Do you feel like you have a role in setting that direction? Do you feel valued as an employee? And this is not something where we just do a gut feel. There is a chance in an anonymous way for an employee to say you're on track or you're not on track. And so we use this to readjust our culture and focus on areas where we have not maybe been as attentive, or it's an area that we need to be more attentive to.
Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for more on Greater Good Radio.
After hundreds of interviews and thousands of hours of research, we're excited to share with you our first book, The Greater Good, Life Lessons from Hawaii's Leaders, with a special foreword from Mayor Mufi Hanneman.
The Greater Good is a collection of personal stories and quotes from over 70 of the leaders we've interviewed.
The Greater Good will make you laugh, make you cry, and will inspire you to live a greater good life.
Available at bookstores statewide and at greatergoodbooks.com.
Neptune Ice, we're feeling fine. We're staying cool on Hawaiian time. Neptune Ice, it's sunshine in your mouth.
For bubble tea supplies in your home, at a party, or business, contact Bubble Tea Supply at 948-2622 or online at bubbletea.com.
Neptune Ice, it's sunshine in your mouth.
Howdy sell his company to Akamai Technologies for $3 billion.
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who donates 6% of sales to make more money?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
How do you get 100 stores and 100 million in sales in less than 10 years?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
Who raised $50,000 in a few weeks for the tsunami relief?
Find out at greatergoodradio.com.
And all while benefiting the community.
Greatergoodradio.com.
You're listening to Greater Good Radio Hawaii. Please visit us online at greatergoodradio.com. Today's guest is Mike May, President and CEO of Hawaiian Electric Company, Inc. Mike serves on the boards of several community organizations, including the Boy Scouts Aloha Council, Academy of the Pacific, and the Blood Bank of Hawaii, to name a few. Of course, Mike, you know, we couldn't list all the boards and organizations that you're involved in. However, I did read through my research that you're really passionate about Aloha United Way, and you did serve as chairman with your wife, Carol, on that. Could you share us a little bit about that?
Well, let me just say, first of all, the real electricity in my life is Carol. She is the illumination in my life. And
it's a good answer.
Are you listening there? And Carol and I wanted to, we're often asked, and I think this goes with the responsibility of being a leader of business and a community. Carol and I are often asked to participate, and so one night I had been asked to head the United Way campaign, and I said, dear, this would be a great chance for us to come together and do something together. And the experience was a lot of hard work, but it was one of the most satisfying experiences that we've had together. We decided to build a campaign that was from our family to yours. We built a campaign team that had fathers, daughters, sons, husband and wives, and, you know, various family relationships. And we had the most fun that year. And it was a satisfying experience. Our company, I'm looking over at one of my colleagues, it's something that we enjoy doing. I see so much innovation coming out. I see everything from rose sales on Mother's Day to cake bakes, and just I just see the best of our company come out in times like this to raise money. I'm very proud to say that two out of the last 4 years, we've been Aloha United Way's Company of the Year, and we had two of our coordinators were recognized as Coordinators of the Year. And I think that's a testament to how passionate our people are about making a difference in the community. And this is just one small example. If I can just go further, the number of employees that we have that have given over 100 pints of blood to the blood bank, it would stagger you. And why is that important to a company? Our company wants to be a part of this community, to give back to this community. Because a company that's not focused on being an integral part of the community, I think is missing an opportunity for success. The integrated model of being service to your fellow employees, service to the customer base, and service to the community is like a hallmark of our vision and our company. And there are so many examples, from the Electron Marathon, robotics, to the blood bank, to a walk for diabetes, et cetera. And our culture encourages our employees. We have recognition programs that say you will be rewarded and recognized by your colleagues for being a part of the community, for making a difference in the community. And one of my passions, I believe people work for two incomes. There's the kind of income that you write on a deposit slip, and there's psychic income. And there's so many examples of where employees have been fulfilled or rewarded by being a part of something beyond themselves in the community. So our employees are encouraged to find their passion and get involved in it. And we have a system that recognizes them when they do that.
If we're thinking about getting involved with community things, nonprofit organizations, or so on, a lot of people will say, I'm so busy now trying to, you know, raise my family and make a living, I don't have time. What would you say to that?
Well, there's always a question of balance. And I think there are ways that we can give. You can give of your talents. You can give of your ideas. You can give of your monies or donations. And we just say, whatever it is, find that time. This may not be the time in your life, but make some time for it because your family ultimately, in United Way's case, one out of four families are ultimately going to be touched by United Way in some way, either by chronic disease or something in their community. They're going to be touched by it. So it's like a pay me now or pay me later. So get involved in it so that you can make it a vibrant, more vibrant community.
Thanks for joining us today on Greater Good Radio. For more information or a transcript of today's show, please visit us online at greatergoodradio.com. This is your host, Evan Leong and Carrie Leong, saying please join us next time for another episode of Greater Good Radio Hawaii.